Let's turn to his word this evening for just a little bit. I just want to give God praise, but let's pray first, and then we'll just see some reasons for our thankfulness and ways that we can express our thankfulness. And so, Father, we just bow before you. Lord, it's a blessing. It's an incredible blessing to be in here in this room. Lord, it's an incredible blessing to hear all of the things that you've done, most of all for salvation from sin through Jesus Christ. Lord, so thankful for your gospel. Thankful for hope. Thankful for that new birth certificate that we have, Lord. Lord, and a new hope with you. And so we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your death and resurrection, Lord, for our sins. And we're thankful, Lord, to be able to turn to your word. And Lord, would you just encourage us tonight through the pages of Scripture as we seek to give thanks to you. We just want to bless you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due his name. Bring an offering before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is established. It will never be moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Amen? Amen. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then the trees shall sing for joy before the Lord, before he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? Good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Say also, save us, O God, of our salvation. Gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and bless you in your give glory and praise to you. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. We have a great God, and his steadfast love endures for how long? Forever. And his goodness will last forever, right? We can give thanks to him, and it's good to count our blessings. This is an awesome thing to do because it reminds us that he isn't just blessing us, right? He's blessing me, and he's blessing my family, and he's blessing those who are his children. But when we get together and we raise our voices and we say, this is how the Lord has walked me through this. This is how the Lord has blessed me in this way. We're reminded of that he blesses all of his people, and we see the many facets of his blessings through these testimonies. And that what I just read was when David, he made a tent for the ark, and he put the ark in the tent, and he gave instructions to all the people, not just the kings and the priests. He said, I want you guys to praise the Lord. For all the families, he wanted the families to praise the Lord, and that's a little bit of what we've been doing. And I just want to just say Thanksgiving, and we know this, and I'm thankful to be in this room tonight with you all. You all know this. Thanksgiving is way more than a meal, right? The world kind of celebrates this, and they kind of weave shopping, and then they get some other things in there, and they barely, I think it was Brother Tom and I, or I forget who it was this morning, talking about people just miss this, that we have a God to give thanks to. Even atheists will say, well, they're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, but they, thanking who, right? But we know who we thank. We know we've been introduced, as my sister said, to the God who we pray to. Who we give thanks to, and we have this. And Thanksgiving is a heart condition, amen? It's a heart condition. It's not just on the last Thursday of the November, right? Our Thanksgiving should be all year, and it should permeate all of our lives and all of our days. And so that's what I had titled the message tonight, was just Thanksgiving is a heart condition. And when we have a heart condition, usually that's not a good thing, but we have a physical heart condition. It shows up in ways, right? Sometimes we have these like blips, like an anomaly. I want to thank you all, by the way. Thank you all for praying for my dad. Praise the Lord. He's doing well. Thank you for praying. Thank you for asking about him. I can't count the number of people who are asking and praying for him, and that's a wonderful thing. They didn't find anything. And praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that. And so it's just one of those things. We'll keep going. Sometimes it's that. But if we have a heart condition, it's because these things kind of show up everywhere. This heart issue starts to show up in all different kinds of circumstances, and our Thanksgiving should be like that. It should show up everywhere, right? In all the days, in all the times and the seasons, because the seasons fluctuate, but God never changes, right? And so this is a difficult time for some people. It has been a hard, hard year. Some for you, it's been a hard 10 years. And we need to remember tonight that God is still good, and we still give thanks. And I'm so thankful. Some of you have given testimony tonight, and I know the things that you've been through, and it's just an awesome thing to be able to see you give thanks and praise to God through those things. And so there are three areas that I think our Thanksgiving can show up, and we see these three areas in Scripture, and one of which is our words and our worship and our walk. And we can give thanks to the Lord in our words and in our worship and in our walk. And I just chose three different scriptures that came to mind, three different kind of stories or accounts. Two of them are accounts about the way we can see thankfulness. But the first is in Luke 17, and it's the healing of the 10 lepers. And in Luke 17, Jesus heals 10 guys. There were 10 lepers, and I'll just read this for us. It says, on the way to Jerusalem, he was, starting in verse 11, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And they lift up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And they went, and as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." And so out of 10 people, one turns and gives thanks. And it was a terrible thing to be leprous in those days. And it's hard for us to imagine, but they had to spend life outside the camp, outside the village, away from their family, away from their life. And they had to live that way, and they had to cover up their face and shout unclean so that no one would get near them, and all of these things that they had to do. And so some of us, in some ways we can hardly blame the guys who just got really excited that they were cleansed because they were headed back. They shouted to Jesus, "Please have mercy on us," and Jesus had mercy on them, and they realized that they were made whole as they were walking, and so they just kept going. Anxious to get back home, anxious to get to the priest who could declare them clean and allow them entry back into their life. But one guy, he saw that he'd been cleansed, and he turned around and he came back to Jesus and he fell on his face before him. He gave thanks to God. He shouted his praise to the Lord. And that's more than just saying thank you, right? That's being thankful. And so it's such an inspiring thing that we can see in his life, because he gave God thanks. And I was thinking about the number of like transplants and the number of replacements and all of the things that this church has been blessed and privileged to see. It's been really incredible, medically speaking, physically speaking, what the Lord has done in and among our congregation. Amen? And we've heard testimony of that tonight. It's awesome. Praise the Lord. And more than that, the Lord blesses us with all of our physical needs. Right? He does. He takes care of our physical needs. And sometimes he uses even the church to do that. Sometimes, you know, the church gives us things that we need. And so praise the Lord for that. But God has given us these, he's intervened physically in so many ways for all of us. And so we can give God thanks like that one leper. But let's be like that one leper, amen? Right? Not just tomorrow when we're sitting around and we're saying what we're thankful for, but all the time. Lord, make us mindful. Lord, make us mindful of what you have done, what you have provided. Thank you, God, for what you've provided for us. And so thankful to see that testimony of this leper. Another place we see Thanksgiving show up is in worship. We see it in our words. We can see it in the words of that leper, and we can see it also in worship. Our response to Jesus for what he has done, and I'm so thankful for everybody who mentioned the gospel, right? What he has done for us by removing our sins from us, saving us. Without salvation, we have nothing. There are so many people who are so blessed, right, to have all kinds of success and bank accounts and all of these things and a good job and even a nice wife and children and all of those things. But if they don't have Christ, they don't have anything. We have Christ, we have everything. Because our sins have been forgiven. And so this account came to my mind that we read in Luke chapter 7. It's this account of a woman. who meets Jesus. Luke chapter 7, and starting in verse 36. Luke 7 and verse 36. One of the Pharisees had asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house, and he reclined at table, and behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner. When she learned that he was reclining at table with the Pharisee and the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And she wiped them with her hair. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they couldn't pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which will love him more? And Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he has canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. And then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears, and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I had came, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with her ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she has loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this that even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And it's this pretty incredible scene of this home of this elite religious figure. And the Pharisees, they had a great handle on external sins, right? They had external sins down. They could spot an external sin from a mile away. They didn't do so well with the internal sins. But I guarantee that this lady did not enter this guy's house before this day, right? And he has Jesus over. And Jesus is there at table, and they're reclining at the table. They're leaning on their elbows at the table, and they're having this meal, and their feet are pointed away from the table. And this woman, who is a sinner, she's a known sinner. She's somebody who I'm sure the town knew who she was, and we don't know what her sin was. We can only imagine what kinds of things. But her love for Jesus, her thanks for Jesus, brought her right into that man's house, right into the Pharisee's house, right up to the back of the table, and she brought her tears, and she brought her ointment, and she wept. She cried over Jesus, and her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. She kissed his feet. She anointed his feet with this ointment, and I don't think this was any less awkward in Bible times than maybe it would be today. Maybe only slightly less, because they were used to washing feet and things. But this was a thing for her to do. And this guy who thinks he has such a good handle on sin and righteousness says, man, if Jesus were really a prophet, he would know who this woman is. He would know who's touching him. Aren't you thankful for our Savior? Because Jesus and this woman, they are the two on the planet who knew the most about her sin, right? Those are the only two in the room, certainly the only two in the world who knew what had happened, because guess what? Her sins had been removed from her. She had no sin. He had forgiven her sin. He had taken away her sin. We don't know when that happened. It was obviously before this, because he makes it a point to say, your faith has healed you. It wasn't her tears that healed her. It wasn't her being nice to Jesus or kissing his feet that had healed her. She was forgiven, and that's why she came. But she came with thanksgiving in her heart. She came with this ointment. She came with her tears, and she came to her Savior, and she gave thanks in her worship. Extravagant worship. Overflowing worship and thanks from this woman for her Savior. And so it's another picture of thankfulness. When we come together to worship the Lord, when we're at home worshiping the Lord, when we're in our prayer closet, we're worshiping Him, we can do so extravagantly. We should, right? We should do these things. We should be in the hospitals and all the other places. And whether it makes people feel awkward or not, I'm not saying we have to do some of these things, but whether we make people feel awkward or not, we give praise to the Lord, amen? The world needs to see that. The world needs to see us in these places giving thanks and worshiping our God for the removal of our sin. And so God has intervened. He intervenes physically, right? He intervenes with healing. He intervenes with provision and all of these things. He also intervenes spiritually, thank God, through Jesus. And I don't know where y'all are at with the Lord. I think I know most of you. I think I know almost all of you. But if you don't know Jesus, Jesus can forgive your sins. Jesus can cleanse your unrighteousness, and he can save your soul because he died on the cross, and he rose again from the dead. And you can know him, and then you can give thanks to him for saving your soul. And just one last, and it's really kind of an all-encompassing thing from Colossians. We can give thanks in our words, and we can give thanks in our worship, but we need to thank him in our walk, and we just started looking at our walk on Sunday, and we're going to continue going through Ephesians and looking at how we walk this Christian life out, but our walk should be permeated with thankfulness. Saturated with thankfulness. And Paul uses these words in Colossians 3. They're very similar to some words that he uses in Ephesians. But starting in 3:15, he says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Amen. We work for him. He saved us for good works that we should walk in them. And we say these words and we do these deeds all for him and giving thanks to him. We can let his word dwell in us. We can let his peace rule in our hearts. And for some, that's hard, especially now. I talked to a brother even this afternoon, and I hope he's watching. But he is going through things that we can't hardly even imagine or describe. And I pray that he's letting the peace of Christ dwell in him and the word of Christ dwell in him richly. But we can even be thankful in those times because we have a good God. Thankfulness, right, is a heart condition. It's a heart posture. It's a heart attitude. And it's so wonderful, such a blessing to look into your guys' faces and see how much God has blessed, what God has done in this place and what he continues to do in this people. And so I'm so thankful. Thankful for this time together tonight in the Word. Thankful for this time in singing and worshiping our Lord. And so let's just bow and pray together one more time as the praise team comes. Father, I do want to give you thanks. And I would just ask, Lord, that you would make us ever thankful. Help us not to forget, Lord. I think of the scripture, forget not all his benefits. Lord, help us not to go through this life accepting your blessings without turning around and giving you thanks. Lord, help us to remember the monumental work that you have done on the cross to save us from our sins. Help us to continually give you thanks for forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that as we speak to each other, the church, as we speak to each other as the church in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, as we make melody in our hearts, Lord, to you, as we let your word and your peace dwell in us, help us to do all things with thankfulness. Help thankfulness, Lord, to permeate our language, not only with you, but also then with each other. Help us to have thankful hearts. We do thank you. And Lord, I want to pray for our gatherings over this weekend. Lord, many of us will be gathering, and we'll be gathering with people who don't know you. Lord, we have this thankfulness for everything that you've done. But Lord, they don't know you. And so I pray for open doors for the gospel. Lord, I pray that you would just help there to be wonderful gospel conversations, Lord, to the truths of your word that come out of our lives, Lord, and out of our mouths, and that people would come to know you, but they'll see you, Lord, in our lives because of our thankfulness, because of what you've done. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.